Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to episode 347 of Fourth and John. I'm Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, Mr. Prime in the building, Mr. Mal and Damn Skippy, aka Hollis Thomas in the building. We're talking, number 30 tonight. Number 30 is the talking point of the night. We're not talking about number 10. We're talking about number 30. If you'd like to join us in the chat, be a part of the show, add value to the show, give us some of your favorite prospects at number 30. Try to stay on topic, so we're not here 2 hours. We're not going to go 2 hours. But there's a lot of talk on the timeline. I see a lot of people get spicy with their takes at number 10. All the draft rumors are coming on. We did get word, on the timeline saying that one of our favorite prospects, Jalen Carter, is not visiting teams out of the top 10. Yeah. I think he got backing maybe from the Eagles that he would not slipping out of 10. But bringing that up right away, I just want to, after we go around the horn here, but I want to preface you guys on last episode, me and Mal, we tried to figure out some of the prospects at 10. We had a move up target, we had a stay at target, and we had a couple prospects that we moved down on. We'd love to get you guys' takes on that. That would be Evan, Prime and Hollis. But Ev, how are you feeling? I know you're battling the ants today.
Listen, man, so winter has officially ended. I was a little bit bummed out. I'm a winter guy. I was a little bit bummed out of the fact that we didn't get a nice snowstorm this year. And now I'm sitting here in the trenches, bro. I'm going to war with an invasion, but that's beside the point. Happy to be here. Obviously, we are just less than 4 weeks away from the NFL draft. Dude, I am getting amped. I am getting juiced up for this. I think just considering all the capital that we have going into this thing, I think that there is a lot of, big name pieces that we could add into this team. And then you also look at the fact that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're over $20 million in cap space right now. Howie did his job clearing space up. So regardless of what you feel in the draft or what you think the Eagles' targets are going to be, there's still options in free agency as well. So, you just got to keep your mind open. And, looking forward to this, man. I also want to hear about who you guys were willing to trade up for in that show last week.
Very, very few people. It wasn't a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, look, 23 days away from the draft. I mean, it's exciting. We got options, two picks in the first round that we're looking forward to. I mean, I know in the last show you guys were talking about mixing it up, maybe trading down. And then tonight we're going to be talking about who our big prospects are for number 30. So, I mean, like, these are the type of topics that you look forward to. You know, like Evan said, man, weather is breaking. It's starting to get hot outside. Football is only but getting closer and closer. So, you know, I mean, looking forward to that. So we got some big plans for this draft. And, you know, that's also exciting to be looking forward to as well. So see how it goes.
Hell yeah. Tank, you're on mute, baby.
Tank on mute.
Oh, my bad. Somebody muted me. My bad. I muted myself. My bad. Yeah. Well, the first thing I want to say is Jalen Carter. I think that's probably a mistake where you kind of alienate all the rest of the teams because somebody might be looking to jump up there and get you if they want to come visit. Now you didn't give them a reason to come up there and get you now.
Yes, sir.
Now you might just be sitting in that damn green room with the rest of us over there chilling. Well, I'm going to be having a good time at the draft. So, hey, I hate to see what guys kind of just alienate themselves like that, because when you don't go and see what everybody else has to offer, then nobody's going to come up and get you, because you already think you're better than they are, and that's their thinking. I was like, but I don't know who, and we was talking about this two or three shows ago. Your agent works for you. It's like you do not want to put that type of crap out there on yourself, like you're too good to go on a free trip and get per diem and get fed and stuff by a team. You don't want to get schmoozed. Are you kidding me? It's like I think that's the biggest mistake a lot of guys make, is because you think just because somebody's not up there in the top 10 doesn't mean they won't come up and get you. So you just cut yourself off from a bunch of different opportunities.
I love it.
Cut
yourself off from them opportunities, Jamie. Man,
part of me wonders. So first is Drew Rosenhaus, right? And so that's, you know what I mean? Like, that's the money guy. Like, that's the guy that's going to have you doing whatever, because he has the connections. But also, I wonder if, like, they're just trying to condense how many interviews he has to do because he's so hot right now, right? That, like, you only want him focusing. Because if he interviews with a team at 20 that says, yo, we had a horrible interview with him, it could be a negative fallout from that. So, you know, who knows?
But you also have to think of this. He didn't come to the combine. He went at his workout. He showed up 8 to 10 pounds overweight, and then finish it.
Yeah.
So if I'm seeing that shit, I'm not coming to get you. And then you're not gonna come on a visit either, motherfucker. Yeah.
Gail was looking at Jalen Carter highlights as well from basketball. What did you take away from that, Gail?
I was digging in the trenches. This was what I think when he was like 15 years old. He was on the AAU basketball team because you know he talked about he could do a windmill dunk. So I wanted to see the windmill dunk. So then I was like looking, I was like, yo, you got this. This is two possessions where you're sitting on the other end of the court.
Literally.
I was like, bro, you're not hustling back to the other side of the court. Thank you. You're getting this windmill on. I'm like, come on. Okay, Jalen.
But think about what you just saw there. And then the 8 or 9 pounds are over, and you didn't even finish your own workout at the University of Georgia. You didn't even finish.
And your pro day is supposed to be the easiest one, right? That's the one you walk into is scripted. It's the perfect environment. And so to see him not finish and what he did do, I mean, it looked ugly compared to Norman Smith.
It's a bad look. You know, it's a bad look, man. I mean, I don't like it. I'm 50. I'm looking at Anthony Perry's comment here. I'm with you, Anthony. I'm 50-50 as well on Jalen Carter. I mean, especially with the news breaking out like that. Like, yo, I get it, man. Drew is the best agent in the league, and he gets shit done.
Yep.
But still, man, just having that attitude. And you know that this the background you got, package you have on you right now with all the shit that's going on behind closed doors. So, I mean, like, you gotta kind of, like, build yourself the momentum back up. That's how I look at it, man. So it's kind of scary. I mean, I'm gonna sit here, and I'm going to truthfully tell you, like, I wouldn't even be surprised just because of him doing that dumb shit. He's in the late, like, he doesn't get picked up until that late first round. You know what I mean? Yeah. Straight up. So I mean, I know you guys are in favor of grabbing. Hey, it is. Yeah. But I mean, that's crazy for you to go into this draft with that attitude. I'm not a fan of it.
He's definitely one of the biggest wild cards without a question. Mm-hmm.
There's a question that a reporter had asked him. This is going into like the championship games during the playoffs. This is like a couple weeks before the playoffs.
Right.
They had asked him a question. They said, what is one like, you know, being the fact that everyone was waiting on him, knowing that Carter was one of the most you know, talented linemen on that defensive front. This is with Jordan Davis and the rest of the guys. They said, you know, you're coming back for your senior your next year. What was the biggest thing that you needed to improve on? And he said, training.
There you go.
And he was like, conditioning, training. And I was like,
yeah, he's already starting off on the wrong foot. I mean, so right, 8 pounds overweight.
Like, I mean, those were his words too.
But not, but, we, not,
but Jordan but, Davis had the same label on him, right?
Hold on, prime. He, not that just that he showed up 8 to 10 pounds overweight. It had only been a couple of weeks, and you show up like that. That means you're not focused. This is supposed
he's
to be
definitely
a
not
job,
training.
A job you're supposed to go to. That's why when you show up, like most of the time when you show up at the combine, if you run decently and you go through the drills and stuff decently, but you're in shape, that means that you're truly about football. But when you don't show up like in shape and ready to go, and you know what the fuck is coming, I can't fuck with you.
Do you guys
not gonna be there?
Do you guys give any leeway in the fact that, considering what's going on in his personal life, him not performing?
That should be all the more reason you have your ass at the gym. That should be all the more reason that you take these interviews. All the more reason to put that out of everybody else's mind. Quit giving motherfuckers excuses. Excuses are for assholes. They all stink and we all got them. Come on now. Will you have a chance like this to grab the world by the motherfucking nuts and you shit it away like this? I have no respect or sympathy for you. You find sympathy in the dictionary between shit and syphilis. Come on now.
Wow, you just dropped two killer lines there.
You should put that on the T. Hey, you should put that on the T.
Down south reason, man.
I mean, Evan, you should definitely.
I was just playing devil's advocate.
He's talking your language there, bro.
but when you look at it, just look at it, fellas. If we being truthful about this, and that's why when he said 50-50 on it, I think that's what a lot of people are. And you decline interviews because you're scared. You need to get that part of. You need to get the part where the car crash and you're showing up overweight to, like Mal said, your own workout. Your scripted workout, and like, you don't finish.
That's an alley-oop, bro.
You don't finish. It's not nothing.
You don't finish.
And then, hold on. This is the other caveat. It's not nothing that the pro team have put together for you. It's a workout that you tailored for yourself.
Yeah.
So you fucked up. That's come on, man. That's,
I fucked up without a question, man.
No, like, I was talking to Mal. I was like, speaking of fucking up, he was fucking up some double teams. I was watching the Florida, and this a guy, Osiris Torrance, who, you know, there was a matchup between those two. I was like, all right, this is what I want to see. I want to see how he does against Carter. I want to see how Carter handles him. And I was like, on tape, I mean, he's doing a lot of work, and you like what you see. And then again, off the field, you're going to have to, like, weigh on N'Kobe Dean as some of these leaders. Jordan Davis, what do you, like, I think they have the inside track. But I know they interviewed his defensive coordinator from Georgia for the potential job. I wonder if they got some intel on him, you know, talking about tell us about, Carter.
This is what I ask you. At number 10, we're about to pay somebody millions of dollars. When you think about it, he's fucked up to this point. If we reward him again, you think he's going to stop fucking up?
I don't know, but I feel like you don't even got to ask the coaches. You got N'Kobe Dean and you have Jordan Davis on this team, like the two people that probably know him as well as anybody. So they speak to his cat. Like, I would believe that whatever they tell me about this man, I would believe, because they've been through the fire with this dude, right? And like, you saw Nola Smith talk about him too at the combine. No. Truth be told, in the NFL, like, team, if Jalen Carter was really that toxic, I don't think N'Kobe Dean. I don't think N'Kobe Dean seems like the type of person that's going to stand there a lot.
I agree with you. Just seeing the way he plays captain on the field when he was
like, he doesn't seem like the type, bro.
I don't think he's going to go ahead and be biased about nobody.
Right.
Yeah. He ain't got no shame to it. He wants a stud that's going to be by his side, that's going to protect him, that's got his back. Exactly. And I mean, if he don't see that in Jalen, I don't think he's got any problems letting the coaching staff or the organization know, like, hey, listen, it ain't worth taking the risk on this kid.
And that probably is a one-on-one, right? Like, nobody even could attest to the conversation. Yeah. That's a face-to-face in the building walk by. Yeah. Like, yo, what about your man's? Like, because it's not even what you say. It's what you don't. It's how you phrase it. If you hit him with
body language,
Yeah, and then, and then you also have a guy like Nolan Smith, who is a damn leader from Georgia, who's also gunning for that number 10 spot. And he's also,
also a
fastball off the edge. Yeah. And he's a leader, bro. So, like, if you're going for one spectrum to the other, again, I don't know Jalen Carter. I don't know, his leadership skills.
The one thing that I know we have to do and we have to think about, even as fans, is when we bring somebody in. Yeah, I take him at 30. But we have to look at this. It's like when you hear what Nolan and them have to say, you got to realize. They don't want to make their name shit just because they vouch for this guy and he comes in and he doesn't do what he's supposed to.
It's like I
feel like he's giving us all these questions, but then you add the buffet by not going to visit other teams in good faith, thinking that somebody will jump up and get you.
Yeah,
it's like
you think that's a move that Deion Sanders would do?
No, Deion Sanders didn't have to do nothing. He came and ran a 4.1 in jeans.
And that's the thing, right? When you produce, if Jalen went to the combine and shit it, right? Just like, yo, what the fuck? Back drills, like everything moving in space, like holy shit. It stands on his numbers at his scene at the pro day. We having a different conversation, right?
Thank
like,
you.
The pieces so. That he didn't produce, that's what Tank is saying. That's what everybody's saying is like, yo, he didn't produce. Now, Nolan Smith and so Gail and I were having a conversation. He was going back and forth and he asked me, he was like, yo, who would you take for at 10, Nolan Smith or Jalen Carter? And like, we were going back and forth. And eventually I was like, yo, honestly, probably Nolan Smith because he's reliable, bro.
Yeah.
Right. Like when you look at the interviews, when you look at all the stuff, I know where Nolan Smith is going to wake up, be at the at the place earliest hell in the gym, working, practice, go home, grind tape. I know this about him, right? Jalen Carter, bro.
And that's the thing. You want a guy that you can rely on, and you don't have to go looking for him. I don't want to be a situation. My rookie year, one of the defensive tackles disappeared for like 2 weeks.
Who's your name names?
My rookie. I'm not gonna name names. But he disappeared for like 2 weeks. The team didn't know who he was, and his wife didn't know where he was.
Oh, wow. He's wilding.
Bender?
Big time. He was. And I,
he's floating in the deep, my boy.
Remember, I'm 21, so this is the first time I'm seeing shit like this. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm starting this week, huh?
Next man up. Word.
Euler. Euler.
But it's like
reliability is important, man.
That's what I'm saying. Reliability and being available at all times. If it's not, because especially you're gonna have your share of injuries, and I get that. But this is a whole different animal. You know, you had the time to get in shape. You had the time to handle the stuff you handled. But then the part that kills me is at your own workout, like a workout you tailored.
that's hard to overlook.
Yeah,
we've got, of course.
And I'm sorry,
this is the last piece.
Yeah,
the tape is immaculate, bro. Yeah. Right there, like when you watch Jalen Carter play, and he's horsing people that are first round picks.
I know,
like, horsing them, but
that's the jacked up part.
Yeah, which one is it, yo?
I know, but will we be able to get him on field so we can see that type of stuff?
Yeah, that's a fact. And you know, Goodell not playing about them suspensions. Yeah, go ahead and think it's a game, bro.
Those are questions. Hopefully the Eagles have answers to. Just recapping our move-up prospects in our last Talking 10. We had Jalen Carter for a move-up. We had Tyree Wilson as a stay at 10, drafting him. We had Nolan Smith stay at 10, drafting him. We had a move down on Skoronski, let someone else draft him, and then we'll get a recap. We'll get some picks later on. We had Bijan moving off 10, and still, you know, if you're gonna draft him, move down.
Evan.
Who else do we have that we moved down on?
JSN Jackson.
JSN. If you want him and you want to move down, we're cool. You're cool if you draft him, but just move down. So
I also want to say something on the Skoronski front. And it's not even just Skoronski, just these offensive linemen as a whole. Because I, you know, it's just something I started thinking about, and the fact that, like, dude, we got a guy, and this isn't unknown knowledge. This is all known stuff. We got a guy in Jeff Stoutland that turned a rugby player, a seventh rounder, into one of the best left tackles in the league. So,
oh, bro.
Yeah.
So to sit here and think that we need to draft a offensive lineman high and that it won't be able to get developed. This, like, that's bro. What I'm saying, man, is that, like, Jeff Stoutland is one of the best offensive line coaches. He is the best offensive line coach in the league. I have more faith in Stoutland developing somebody in later rounds.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
But how late you talk about, Ev?
But like
I'm not saying wait until the sixth round. I'm just saying, you know,
second or third round. I feel like the cliff from Skoronski to Matt Bergeron, right, from Syracuse, some of the other guys that are going in the like late first, early second, to me, it's not even a cliff. They on the same damn level. It's just somehow the hype machine around Skronk is just ramped all the way up, where for some of these other dudes, it's just they're just seen as what they actually are, as like NFL caliber prospects.
I hope I'm out
on 10 on Skronk. Seriously, because like I was telling Gail earlier, I don't know how many times you're supposed to see somebody get beat with an inside speed pass rush before you. I'm done. That's the quickest route to the quarterback is on your inside shoulder, and you getting cooked every time. I'm good, son. That's not a first round pick.
I was thinking second or third round, but I think he's going to fall to that, because I think the offensive line talent in this draft is meager restitution compared to years past. That's why you don't see any highly touted ones. There's a lot of edge rushers that everybody's talking about taking, and defensive backs because of the way and receivers because of the way of the NFL is going. So you're going to see the edge rushers go, but I think it's probably going to be the offensive line is meager. So it's going to be a run on them to mid to late rounds, though. I can tell you that much.
Now, I mean the topic of the hour is the
30th pick.
30th pick here. We're gonna have to get into it. Now, before the show, we kind of asked some of the guys to give some guys you want to talk about. You know, obviously we're gonna mention some of the guys that are in the range, but we'll start with Mal. Who's your guy at number 30 that you wanted to hit on?
I mean, if I'm gonna be honest, it's two people. Jahmyr Gibbs and Jalin Hyatt. I'm not convinced that either of these guys make it, to be frank. Like, I think both of them probably end up going earlier. But these are the two players for me that I feel like you put them into this offense, and this offense jumps out the gym. Both of them are, like, next-level athletes. Jahmyr Gibbs is probably the best pass-catching back in the draft. Split him out wide, right? You could move him into the slot. And I don't think that he's overly redundant with Kenny G. I think that they both have a diverse enough skill set. You could play them both. But Jalin Hyatt, you don't got to say much more, right? We've talked about him already. One of the best deep threats in the draft. Doesn't drop a ton of passes, and I still feel like he's an ascending player. Right, that he's still learning the position, learning the game. But man, I would be excited to see him being able to learn from Smitty, learn from AJ, get into this offense, grind with Hurts. This offense would be explosive, bro.
Interesting. I think Gibbs, man, we got a lot of Bijan stands in the Eagles community. Gibbs is the guy that.
As well.
But I don't think the Gibbs train is as hot as a Bijan. I think Gibbs, he's just electrifying. I think he's got the 1 foot in the ground and take off type speed. Like Chris Johnson, 2K speed, a little bit. He's got some juice, man.
I still like Roshan.
Roshan?
That's like Roshan Johnson, man.
When you see the kid, he's running through tackles and stuff. I think Leighton, first, early, second, he'll still be there, but yeah. I still like Roshan. Or if it's later in that round, and I feel like we should jump in a defensive lineman if we don't draft one first. I feel like a defensive lineman or a defensive back, one of the ones that's still stuck around, because eventually you got to get that secondary a little younger than what we got going on.
Absolutely.
Vic chimes and said we should get ODB. I mean, Osiris Torrance at 30 if we're not trading now.
I don't think Osiris make it to 30, bro. I think a lot of the people we about to talk about right now end up going much earlier than we did.
Yeah.
Wait, you know, the funniest thing is when we look at the draft, it depends on what everybody goes on, because we can have it one. Sometimes you have it one way, and then it's like a smorgasbord on like receivers, and then maybe it'd be a smorgasbord on DBs. Then everybody think that everybody's going to draft DBs or edge rushers. Then everybody starts jumping up and getting edge rushers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to go ahead.
I was going to say it's going to be unpredictable because it's not a top heavy draft, right? That like there aren't a ton of players, aren't 25 players with first round grades on them where you can like, all right, this is the need plus value. It's like 10, 12 dudes in here, and everything else is a free for all after that, right? So you could see somebody like, oh, I got a third round grade on, bro. Like, what was they thinking going 20th overall? Just because this draft, in my opinion, is going to be like all over the place, man. But also opportunity for front offices that did their homework to get in here and like take some really valuable players all through the draft, getting starters, you know, contributors. But at 30, if I could get Gibbs or Hyatt, man, the offense, again, numbers.
And anybody have any qualms about the Hyatt and Gibbs at 30?
I'd be happy with either of them, man. I think they're both really good players.
Yeah, no, I think it's like what Maul said. I mean, all those players that we're going to pretty much talk about, I mean, any of these guys fall into our hands, we're going to be all right with it.
Yeah.
Ev, who you got?
I myself have three different players, two of them being wideouts and a cornerback. I'll start with Mal's boy, who he's turned me on to, Cedric Tillman, man. Cedric Tillman. Dude is a baller. He's got the size that you're looking for, and I mean, he's obviously got the talent you're looking for. I think that a lot of people will think that Cedric Tillman at 30 would be high, and I think that a lot of mock drafts would also say that. But I think, just like Mal said, that there is a clear consensus of like a top 15 in this draft, and then it's pretty much a free for all, and it all depends on what teams value. I've seen a lot of Addison going in the first round. To me, I don't think Addison is a first round wide receiver. I think Cedric Tillman is a better wide out than him. And so that's why I felt comfortable bringing up Cedric in this conversation. But one wide receiver that I personally like more than Tillman, even.
Zay Flowers?
It's your boy.
My boy.
We Zay know.
I love me some Zay, man. I've gushed over him plenty on this podcast. Yep. Just his ability.
There's Rugrats look.
his ability, once he gets the ball in his hands, he can get to the end zone, man, no matter where he is on the field. And that's something that I see is extremely valuable. And I think would just be absolutely electrifying to add into this offense. Yeah, and my third guy is a cornerback that I feel like isn't really on anybody's radar except for the Eagles themselves. There's a guy named Julius Brents out of Kansas State. Dude is 6'3" cornerback, man. He's a little bit thin, not gonna lie, a little bit thin.
They mostly are, but
the Eagles hosted him for a top 30 visit, and he's actually one of the few guys. He might actually be the only guy that the Eagles have visited with twice now. So the exact reason I bring him up is that this is a guy that's on the Eagles' radar and something that they're definitely looking into. I think that considering his size and speed, he might be more of a converted safety once he gets into the league. But like you think about how our safety position is looking right now, that might be ideal. I know there's a lot of conversation right now about moving Avante possibly to safety. Yeah. But Avante is so effective right now in the slot. I wouldn't want to take him out of a spot that he flourishes in. And so if you're able to bring in new blood like Julius Brents and train him to become a solid safety for you, that to me is a win-win.
I was interested in that. Somebody just brought it up. I was going to tell everybody Emmanuel Forbes out of Mississippi State at 30. If you watch the kid's tape, he was putting motherfuckers on notice. And there was one play in particular, Will Levis, the top QB,
Kentucky. Yeah,
yeah. I don't know if you saw when he tried to pump fake on a wide receiver screen, and he gave him a pick six, took it to the house.
Yep.
I was like, dude. But his ball skills and his cover skills, and he's long and lanky too. So and that speed. So I think he may be, and he's already had a visitor too. Yep. He's already been on a visitor too. So it's not something that I think that's going under the radar unseen. It should, but it will be cool to if we had another long leggy corner, especially going up against all them big ass receivers we're going up against. Yeah. You know, we're not the only one with big bullies.
Well, so. I mean, I remember we talked to prospect alum Izzy McQuamu, who is now on the Cowboys. I remember when we talked to him and just before he was drafted, just kind of looking into his size. He's a big bodied corner, man. And he was drafted late and he's had success in the league.
Yeah,
he's been doing well for them. So like to bring in a big bodied corner like that, I'd be all about it.
Well, no, Brent's weighed in at 198, bro, at the combine. So he was able to pack a little bit more size on him. Yeah. And so, you know, when you're talking about somebody 6'3", 198 with 34-inch arms, like I said before we even
41-inch vertical?
Like 41 and a half. And that 11'6", bro, jump, like, that's outlandish. Like, yeah, I want them to go. I'm not even trying to be a hater, but, like, I need somebody to double-check that, John. Like, can we go back and, like, rewatch that? Because that's bananas. An 11'6", bro, jump is almost unheard of.
Unheard of, yep.
So, you know, that type of athleticism in a frame that's 6'3", 198, yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. You know, that's a great catch, my boy.
Thank you, man.
Interesting. Ev, with some, you know, other picks, you know, it's a point in time where hearing about other prospects not named, you know, the average selections.
Right, Bijan.
So, Primo, who did you want to?
I got two guys that pretty much caught my attention. You got cornerback from you know, from the Georgia Bulldogs. I know Evan's not going to agree with me.
Evan's not going to like him.
Apologize if I'm saying it wrong. Kaylee Ringo.
Yes, sir.
That was just a Ringo Starr joke, by the way.
Yeah, I think the dude's a stud, man. I mean, he's got some serious stress. I mean, it's definitely a position that we are looking to go ahead and get ready for the future. I know we're set to a standard, you know what I mean, but it ain't nothing wrong with bringing some big dogs such as himself onto the squad. I mean, he plays with, you know, he covers his own pretty good. His open and transitions are generally smooth, you know what I'm saying? Stays low, balanced, physical. He approaches the run support duties like a safety, you know, based off of the notes I'm saying here. I mean, he fights through blocks, maintains run leverage. I mean, I know he's got some weaknesses that, you know, people are worried about. But, I mean, hey, this is what it's all about coming into the league, dealing with the coaching staff that we got. It's all about learning. It's a learning experience. I mean, he's got the time to go ahead and learn and become one of the greatest. And pretty much at the end of the day, it's all up to him. The other person that I'm interested in is the Cincinnati wideout, Tyler Scott. I wanted to talk all about him two shows ago, but I didn't get the opportunity thanks to Tank because he was always interrupting. But
well, if he was on the last show, then you know.
But no, I like Tyler Scott. I mean, the man, he runs a 4.29, 40 and a half vertical. All right. I mean, his speed definitely stands out. And then, you know, 10 out of his 14 career touchdowns have been over 30 plus yards. I mean, we're looking to go ahead and definitely fill that third wideout spot on the team. I think he would be a great fit. I mean, he definitely will attract a lot of attention, therefore opening up the game for all the other guys. I mean, this is what we want to go ahead and fill in. So I think he would be the perfect guy for that. So, I mean, either way, and of course, with all the guys that have been mentioned so far, like I said, man, you go with any of these guys, and I think we'll be in great shape.
Interesting. I mean, the Kaylee Ringo, you know, if you look at the earlier mocks, he was like one of the number one corners, top 10. But I think the inconsistencies there.
I
still think he's an athletic freak. I think if he works on that technique and he, Matt, you know, gets refines his game, then we'll
Matt brought it up. Matt brought it up best when he's like, just think of him, if he doesn't come in and get his shit together and get his technique down, just think of him going to again Cook against one of the more polished route runners that we play against. It's gonna be a tough situation. Yeah. I personally think that he can do it, but I don't mind taking him at number 30. At number 30, I think it's a good pickup. It's
I like the Tyler Scott, and that's a sneaky one, man. And Gail and I were talking about Tyler a couple of days ago because he's one of the premier deep threats too, right? And like his name is almost never mentioned. I don't have him necessarily in the first round, but again, outside of these top 15, 12, 15 dudes, I feel like anything can happen. And one of the things that I loved about him, just going back to like some of his advanced stuff, he had a 55% contested catch at his size and frame, right? So like for me, that at 5'10", 177, you pulling in more contested catches than A.T. Perry does at 6'4". I'm paying attention, bro, right? And, like, that's that 39.5-inch vertical.
Exactly. But
that also speaks to strong hands. And so, you know, as a wide receiver, I want somebody that's going to go up there and catch it. Right. So, yeah, man, you put the wheels together with the ability to jump and catch. Listen, I'm paying attention.
And the thing about Tyler Scott, that motherfucker was all – excuse my French. Hey, dude was wide open, and I'm like, yo, how – you know,
that's what you think, text me, like, how is he always open? Like,
you think about – the guys that you're, you know, you're going to defend against this dude. We know that he's stretching the field. We know that he's how is he wide open? Like, how you,
you know, the funny thing about being wide open is just catching the damn ball. Quest.
But that's an underrated part to this, right? It's like when you're in traffic, 10, 15, 12 yards, those catches that when you're by yourself, It's a head game at that point, right? It's like it's like at the free throw line, you got a shooter that's clutch, but then you get to the free throw line and you're missing because you're in your head. So, you know, anytime I see a guy that is like Jalen Hyatt, Scott, that we were just talking about, the guys that actually could catch whenever they get behind the defense, listen, I'm with it.
That's an interesting one.
I also am just loving the idea because I think that there is a lot of talented wide receivers in the top end of this draft. But then you also think about like to bring the whatever wide receiver we were to end up bringing in as the wide receiver three, we have a legitimate three Batman system, bro. Like we talked all last year about you know we got fast Batman, we got actually three Batman with that case, bro. About
it. Well, it's the funniest thing too is you're not worried. We as fans are not worried about it like we were, like we started worried about it mid to late year, because early on we thought we had three Batman, and then Robin revealed himself, and it was just I don't know, it was a downward spiral for him, and then you kind of sometimes you want to feel sorry for him, but then you like realize that he wasn't sorry when he went to pick up his check on Monday, so I mean you got to put in some work, you got to start catching the motherfucking rock. You have one job, just like a kicker.
That's the ball. Now, Big Tank, who do you got? Who are some of the prospects that you had on your mind at number 30?
At number 30, it was I was also looking at 30 to like in the second round, Kansi, if he's available, because like it's like because we were talking before we came on about what I look for when I watch a tape. My first thing is watching the pad level and hand usage. If the guy doesn't have good hands and his pad level is high, it's gonna turn into a one sided patty cake match with the offensive lineman, because he's gonna put his dick beaters all in your chest and face. And I saw a lot of that with a lot of the guys. We were talking about Breezy. We're gonna call him Breezy, Brian Breezy. I was looking at him, and that's what was happening to him. And it was mainly because I want to say it's mainly because of his knee. He's coming off of knee surgery and stuff, and then having those little knick-knack injuries. But it's like the main thing is pad level. When you see somebody coming off and not being the victim of circumstance, meaning that he's not letting the offensive line make sport of him. Like when I say make sport, getting your ass whooped, because the offensive linemen take pride in kicking your ass. When you go on the ground, next time y'all watch a tape or watch a film, well, just watch how many defense, when a defense lineman go on the ground, how the offensive lineman looks like it's a fucking battle royal, and he's about to go in for the elbow drop. Yeah. and then a lot of y'all don't know that that's called teabagging. That's what that's called. When he lays on you with his hands out like this, he's teabagging you. That's what. That's not a good look. But my bad. But when I do look at him, I look for the pad level and hand usage and the nastiness. So, and I know Prime probably was a defensive lineman in his former life, because I feel like he's not gonna let nobody just push him around and make sport of him.
You know.
Well, he's a linebacker in his former life.
And then I looked at Brian, and I did like the kid Henry Toto as far as linebackers. In the mid to late round, and I do like the kid Drew Sanders was knocking the shit out of everybody that moved, and he also can stand up and outside linebacker, but he's playing mostly linebacker, and he was destroying fools. And he had a great combine and a great season. I was looking at those guys like second round and third round picks.
Yeah, Drew Sanders is so interesting to me because like he was almost getting comp to like TJ Watts, like really, really adept pass rushers. And he's almost in the mix to me, right? Like when you watch him, like I like what you say. He hits everything moving, but so often he doesn't really know where he's supposed to be outside of that. Yeah. And so it's like, can he only go forward? Can you put him at Mike, right? Like, can he play in the cover two, cover three? Like, I still was trying to figure out exactly where he is
in that comparison. Will linebacker, go get the ball.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Will linebacker. Go get the ball.
Yeah.
What you say. Go get the ball. What do you think they did with Detroit Polamalu? Go get the ball. What do you think they did to Junior Seau? Go get the ball. Everybody else has responsibility. You go get the ball the best way you know how.
Facts. But I also feel like, yeah, that's fair. I just like the defense we have, maybe not. It seems like they would want him to be able to do more. But listen, if that's his role, go get it.
Yeah, but the other part that I didn't mention was if you look at a lot of those guys, their film study, and if you like, I'm playing with guys who do what the fuck they want. Their film study, they start calling out the offense plays, and they come to get it because they know where it's at. It's kind of mesmerizing at times because he's like, damn, how the fuck did he know that? And maybe because I was fat and tired, and not paying attention. But it's like certain guys like that, they have a knack for being in the backfield and performing what I like to call backfield bootlegging.
Okay. My prospect here, Osiris Torrance.
Osiris.
You know. Obviously, I think he's got a chance to move on up. I think, when people are talking about moving a guard in, tackle into play guard, when you can go later and get Osiris, and I feel like he's got the size you like. I think you team him up with Stoutland. I think it would be a great pairing. You talk about a guy. I think Mal likes his lineman a certain way. I think he would fall in that category for Mal. You talk about size. This is 6'5", 347 versus, we're trying to project Cam into the right guard spot. But, I mean, he's 302. That's the big size difference in weight. But again, I'm all for competition. But again, O-line is never a sexy pick. So, at the end of the day, it's not that sexy as a drafting Bijan or a Gibbs or anything. But Osiris, I would be happy with that.
Speak for yourself. I would love an Irishman on the team.
For me, the offensive, like the groins in the trenches, bro, that's the sexiest stuff in there, pause. But I told you, like, man, when you sent me that video of Osiris and Jalen, I was like, bro, that's my type of shit right there, brother. I like that. Like, that should get me excited, bro. So, that offensive line work, if you get somebody like Osiris, that's just a horse.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about sexiness. I mean, like, I threw a name out there. I'm not sure if you got a picture of him, but I mean, he definitely, oh my God, like right there.
I'm reading your mind, man.
I mean, that just by the way he looks, he's got that I don't give a fuck attitude. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's gonna go ahead and block. You know what I mean? He's gonna go ahead and make sure that nobody's gonna go ahead and touch the jailer. So I mean,
but I'm all for State though.
Yeah, so what, man? Come on.
Well, I actually talked to him at the I talked to Cody at the Senior Bowl.
So you saw him, bro. He was talking one-on-ones. How was he doing?
No, he was doing well. And I think the fact that he was able to move inside, they loved his versatility. They loved that you know, he would get after. He's got he could get that mean streak in him a little bit, you know. But Cody Mauch, I definitely a guy who a versatile lineman is very key. Like,
I mean, yeah, Isaac Sumalo. Isaac, yeah, we just lost that.
Isaac Sumalo could play every single position if he needed to.
Right. Right.
But go. Yeah. I mean, but if you're going back to that football IQ, you know, and they love Skoronski and his ability to move and take over positions.
They love Skoronski.
They like that
because he can get horsed at every position. He give up inside speed technique on every damn snap, yo. Awesome. You know, I can't wait.
Yeah. So my other guy that you brought him up. Obviously, I think he's going higher, but he's an outlier.
That's what I'm saying. It's like Kansas is an outlier.
It's kind of like
when you look at the draft. It's like when you look at how the draft may fall. Somebody's going to reach for something. Like we were saying, somebody's going to reach on an offensive lineman. Somebody's probably going to reach on a safety or a linebacker or somebody that they really want. And we're just going to be there. We're going to be there for the taking. Yeah. I'm saying if he falls to us, you can't get that slip of paper in fast enough.
Yeah. My thing about what I love about Kancey as a prospect, you know, obviously he's 6'1", 280. He went to a school. He drew the luck of the card that Aaron Donald went to. Same size. He's gonna be measured at that kind of. But that's unfair to Kancey. But at the end of the day, for his tools, I think he brings his lunch pail to work every day, and he's got an explosive first step. And I think he's. I was telling Mal. I'm like, if Kancey had the. If Miles Murphy had the tools that Kancey had, then I'd be talking about Miles Murphy in the top 10, but Kancey, he's a guy that just fights for it. And I saw, shout out to Adam in the chat as well. I did see him bring up Adetamiwa Adebare out of Northwestern.
McDonald out of Iowa State, I saw in the comments too.
Yeah, I thought that Adetamiwa, he's the same build as him. He's got some long arms. He ran the 4.64. Like, these guys are kind of outliers. And I think the league right now, I was telling Mal this today. I said, there's a lot of outliers in this draft. You go to Tank Dell, you talk about, you know, these guys are 5'9", a buck 67.
11-6 broad jump, bro.
You know, buck 70.
Like Julius Brents is a complete outlier. Like, yeah, no, that's a lot of that.
Adam, just so you know, Gail was practicing that name in his head before he mentioned it.
Oh, yeah,
he was just showing off.
Bro. Come on, man.
He's been hard for him.
Did you know his father is a prince? This is like some real.
Of course.
The man has got his own money. some real stuff. Go check out his tape, man. He did kill the combine, but again, his
arms. Runs like a baby, bro. If he runs like a toddler, it threw me off watching him play. He has like this toddler waddle when he starts running, son. And I'm like, I can't watch no more film, son. I'm gonna start laughing.
Go watch it, man. The long arms.
I kept watching it. I made it through like four games, chuckling the whole time because he runs like a toddler. I know he's definitely a football player. I get it out of my head, son. I was like, what is happening?
One name that wasn't brought up in today's conversation. That I think maybe could slide. Any interest in Luke Van Ness at 30?
No,
not at 30 even.
No.
I would be interested in at 30. No. At 30, you know, again,
Luke Van Ness will all of a sudden have to manifest some other move other than a power rush.
Like,
I would have to dig into his 17th game that I've now tried to watch to find him do something other than try to run people over like a bulldozer. So,
like, the thing with Van Ness is like, he hasn't put it all together yet. So you're trying to figure out who he is as a projection.
Yeah,
try hard, white boy.
Hank, Thank you. So is Gronsky, son. They are try-hard white boys that just got a lot of hype around them. They are not very good, bro. Like, can we stop this shit already, son? Can we stop Will Levis? I'm waiting for Evan's football players, but can we stop with this shit?
Let's go, Caitlin Clark.
Like, it's just this happens every year, yo. But like, it's usually a quarterback, but this year the quarterback isn't good enough.
So Mitch Trubisky.
All these random
players.
Volume one. Yeah.
I know. the funniest shit, though, is like when I saw Will Levis, I saw the second coming of Tim Couch. I was like, oh, God, this can't be good.
Yeah.
But it's when you kept mentioning him, I seen some of his pass rush. He didn't really jump out at me on his. On any of the pass rush, he got pass rush as he's trying to run people over.
I'll take Miles Murphy before Van Ness, and you know how I feel about Miles Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll take Miles Murphy 10 out of 10 over Van Ness.
Without a question. Well, I think Van Ness, like some people are like, well, like mentioned Karloftis in the same breath, but that same dude ended up starting for Kansas City last year.
And I told you I went back and like I reverted to how I felt about Karloftis, but also Karloftis showed more than just like he knew how to convert his power rush into something else, right? That like it wasn't just trying to run people over the whole time. He improved in the NFL, right? He was in the right situation. How many times do you see somebody make that transformation? If I can't see you do it, it's hard for me to then say like, okay, you're gonna do it magically in the NFL. Yeah. That's quarterbacks and the accuracy, right?
If you don't see the potential. Like, and this is where potential comes in. If a coach doesn't see potential in getting you to do something else, you're that one-trick pony, and you're just going to keep using that one trick. Mm. Some coaches can teach you tricks off of that one trick you got. I kind of don't see it with him. Like, I think he's just a high-motor white guy in like the mid to late rounds. It's like
So, Tank, question. In your experience, being, you know, the years in the league, have you seen a guy come in like a guy who had no tools except for, you know, like, you know, a power rush and someone developed those kind of things over the years, or that you don't really see that as often as you think?
You can see it, but it's like, I think I gave you an example last time of the big defense tackle, the defense tackles that was at Georgia. One name was Jonathan Sullivan and was the other one was the kid out of New England ended up drafting like late in the first round or second or third round. One is a Hall of Famer now. Mm-hmm. And it's not Jonathan Sullivan. Jonathan Sullivan, he was a terror in college. He got to the pros and turned into a big pudding. And I can't think of the kid's name. Richard Seymour. Richard Seymour, and coming out of college, Richard Seymour, it was like they thought that he was just going to be a steady guy. He came out and just was kicking ass. Mm-hmm. And it's like it was because he got a coach that believed in him and got him to doing the right stuff. Jonathan Sullivan just started sticking up the joint.
Yeah, and Richard Seymour ended up a horse, bro.
And
when you're talking about Richard Seymour, when I was watching – Tyree Wilson, that's sort of what I saw. Yo, I saw flashes and I'm like, dude, I've seen this player before. And like the first person that my mind ventured to was like, if he put on more weight, like Richard Seymour would be a close comp for me, man, because like he can move and he has the length to actually be disruptive.
Now, shout out to Sean. He says, what's up, guys? How about Steven Avila out of TCU? I love Steven Avila versus Jalen Carter. You put on some good tape there. Go check that out. A couple of prospects we should talk about before we get out of here. Miles Murphy.
I owe this to Mal though.
how you feeling about Miles Murphy?
I initially liked Miles Murphy. I still like him a little bit, but Mal was like, hey man, he don't do shit but try to run everybody over. And I went back and I was like, he is right. But he was winning like a motherfucker. But
for her, right? Like, he was running some motherfuckers over.
And then I realized that all I like is carnage. I like somebody.
Yeah, right.
But he's a one-trick pony. But I do see him being able to be taught a move off of that bull rush. Yeah. If you're looking for somebody who, like, when I look at Luke he's just the language try hard white guy. Mm-hmm. And it's like he's probably gonna get his ass kicked.
What else am I supposed to say?
I
defend that man.
It's like, but then when you look at Miles, you can see that he's trying to do some other stuff. Yeah. Like, and it, to me, the funniest shit is like, it was one play, and he clearly could have got an up and over move on the guy because the guy had sat down. And it was like, he's like, well, he got in my way. I'm gonna run him over anyway.
Oh,
but the funny shit was, he put him on his back too. He put the dude on his back, but it was like, you could have easily just won that with an up and over. The dude had the offensive lineman. Once the offensive lineman sits like this, up and over, because he can't move. Because it's hard as a big dog, you can't get your feet back going. Yeah. So
I was telling Gail, I actually saw Miles with a beautiful hand swipe, bro. Yeah, like, perfectly timed, perfectly implemented, and I was like, like, okay, like, all right, young boy, I see you. It's a whole bunch of people I would take before him, but to your point, like, I finally saw that piece where I'm like, oh, you do have something else. Whereas with Van Ness, I'm still seeing him. Not only is he trying to run you over, but he's not even trying to take angles. He's literally trying to run broadway through your body.
Down like, the middle.
That's the hardest way to beat somebody, son.
In the meat of the patty.
Yeah, right. Like, it just doesn't even make sense. But I digress.
That it was like a prime. Who'd you have in the late second round, third round pick? Somebody that's one of your dark horses.
Oh, I actually was going with Cody in the late round. That's who my guy was. Yeah, that's who. Because I mean, I had a feeling that, you know, it was that time where they were going to go after an offensive lineman.
A ton of sense too.
We got to think about the future. I mean, you know. We lost Solomalu, and then you got Kelsey. You got, Cam. I mean, he's a work in progress, and hopefully, you know, he definitely shines this year. But it's just those type of positions that we got to go ahead and make sure that we have filled in for, you know, later on down and, you know, for the future.
I was just going to say, also, too, I kind of like their pick, because just say we may need that kid, and he'll get some quality reps with some experienced guys. Because a lot of times we start thinking about the future, but the future could be now, because some of those guys get some quality time playing now. So when they really thrust in the battle, like, I'm glad N'Kobe Dean did sit out the whole last year and didn't get no linebacker play.
Right.
Because
right.
Now he knows. Because when you first go in there, the speed of the game is – no. The speed of the game is a motherfucker. Right. And you look around like, oh, shit. And they pick
But, I mean, you go back to what Evan said earlier, man, Stoutland University. I mean, we got one of the best mans that could go ahead and teach you the game.
The best,
you're right. And, I mean, he ended up taking somebody that didn't know anything about it and became, you know, an all-pro. So, I mean, he's like, yo, I mean, that means a lot.
And if you guys, if nobody had the opportunity yet to go check out the New Heights episode where Jason Kelsey interviewed Howie Roseman, I think that there was actually some really good nuggets that were dropped in there.
It's insightful, man.
No, yeah, it really is. And Howie kind of opened up his entire thought process as he goes into the draft and what he values.
It was good, bro.
It was a really good listen. So I think you should check it out.
I don't know if you guys saw the kid who we just picked up. You know, that was one of the kids that Donahue.
Contavious Street.
Yeah, that was the
Contagious
guy.
Contavious Street.
Yeah, that was the guy that the dude. I don't know if you remember when they did the fake high five, and the one guy was like, "Yeah, whatever." In the war room.
That was the guy from Milton Williams. Yeah,
That was the guy. Contavious Street was the guy that the other guy wanted to draft.
Oh, shit. That's funny. Well, honestly, Milton Williams, I think, has been doing well. I think he had another good year last year.
Contavious, he's been that guy like they want.
Mal, I want to ask you, though, because I saw you talking about him the other day. What you feel about my boy Ivan Pace out of Cincinnati?
That's killer. Y'all telling Gail today, that's my guy, bro. He destroys everything. He's a heat-seeking missile. Like, it was like Tank was talking earlier, see ball, get ball. Like, that's I don't need you to do see ball, go get ball, bro. And, like, he's taking on whoever. And, like, he talked about it. And I like what he said. He said he was running across the face, right? Like, he's not running into people. He's taking angles and winning the spots, right? Like, he knows where he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And geometry, right?
Yeah.
I know that much. Mm-hmm. And some physics in there, too, because when you smash into somebody faster than they move, and you tend to move them backwards.
Right.
So, you know, that's his whole mentality is like, I'm going to just go hit it. And then I got on my Gale deep dive and was going, I watched this huddle tape, him playing running back. Yo, he's a beast, bro.
Pace?
That, like, he played running back in high school. Yeah. I don't know how he was so lowly, like, ranked. This dude was a
probably
beast
size.
Running back, son. Like, yo, he's short. Ivan Pace Jr.
He's tall. He's that Daniel Beaton. Thomas. Yeah.
Well, he had to transfer from Miami, Ohio. He's actually, I believe his brother plays at Cincinnati as well. But I think at the Senior Bowl, none of the running backs could block him one-on-one. He was
smoking them.
He's a dude that you could easily see blitzing.
Yeah, Ryan, you know the vibes, bro. You know when you watch somebody on tape, it's like Tank said, I like carnage. I like destruction.
Carnage,
when I see somebody causing just destruction, that's always going to catch my eye. That's why Devin Witherspoon, I popped it on. I seen him knock somebody in the next Tuesday. I'm like, that's my guy now, right? Same with TVT, physical. Yo, Ivan Page Jr., yeah, he got it. He got his dog in him.
I was watching his mic'd up at Cincy, and I was like, he's tackling like the head coach. Like, you got to be really good to mess with the head coach like that. I was like, he must be really well liked and really he must be a favorite of the coaches because he's letting this dude tackle him all over. Mm-hmm. Go check out Ivan Pace from Cincy. Any other players before we do this quick mock? I think Prime's got taco responsibility.
I made my tacos yesterday. I'm just reheating them.
I'm like, hurry up. Yo.
Come on, get started. Let's go.
Hey,
I just want to mention some players, some other cool players that we had up there that we didn't talk about. Deontay Banks, long physical corner. I definitely think he's going to go higher. But just want to mention him out there. Also, Darnell Washington, favorite violent tight end.
Moist gang over Darnell Washington.
Moist gang. Whoa.
There's this one play versus Oregon where he demolishes a couple people, and then he hurdles somebody. And I'm like,
we're not going 17-0 this year, bro. we go have to fight this one now. It's going to be slugfest season this year.
Were you the NFC champs?
Yeah.
Everybody, you got a target on you, bro. Yeah.
Especially San Fran, Dallas. Oh, yeah. Like, we got some good teams that's coming to wear us out. So this football team better be ready this year, bro. We're not surprising. Yeah,
I can't wait either.
Yes, sir.
Does anybody see the Eagles drafting Darnell Washington? At number 30.
Not in the first, no. I think he ends up going.
If he falls to number 30, I don't know.
But, like, look at what they did with Goddard, right? They're like, they moved back second round pick.
Yeah.
Not too far into the second. Felt real good with him, right? Positional value might not be too far wrong.
I saw Bob from down under.
Did they move back from Goddard, or was that just the
they moved back.
They moved back. Then they moved out of – isn't that when they got –
If you look at that draft, was a phenomenal draft. We're talking about Sweat. We're talking about – Lil Tay-Tay. We talk about Jordan Mailata. We got Pryor late in the sixth, and Mailata in the seventh, Goddard.
But you remember how we did Dallas on that one? How we moved out of the first round and then moved right back in front of them and drafted Dallas.
Yep.
Now speaking about Bob from
cool as fuck.
And then we got Smitty from the instead of the Giants, and the Giants is sick because they ended up with Kadarius Toney, who flopped, bro.
Yeah,
so like
he would be a killer in the Super Bowl.
It seems like he's had a little bit of revival in KC. Giants. I'm not gonna lie.
It was injuries. Kadarius Toney always could play the role that you need him to. He just wasn't available, right?
Me and Gail were checking out his rap albums prior.
Before the draft, I said, check his SoundCloud. He's not going to be a Giant for long, and that happened. But Bob from Down Under did mention tight ends. Dalton Kincaid out of Utah, definitely. Yeah. If you're talking about, again, me and Mal had a pot. We did this draft video on Dallas Goedert before Zach, you know, Zach Ertz was heavily entrenched, and we were like, you know, Goddard's the guy. Mm-hmm. And here we are.
You're missing.
You know. Have you guys checked out Dalton Kincaid yet?
Yeah,
but you missed
Baby Gronk. K-U-N-T-Z. I like Dalton, man. He catches the ball. I didn't really see a ton of blocking reps from him.
Yeah,
predominantly saw him route running, right? And so, but I also feel like that was the knock on Ertz. That was the knock on Goddard. Like, they came in and they learned it. And so when you're talking about you've been able to consecutively teach your tight ends, second round tight ends,
you got
how to block. You know what I mean? Like,
did Ertz learn how to block though?
Yeah, Ertz learned how to get in the way of people. Like, yeah. For me at tight end, that's what you got to do. You can get in the way.
You did your job. You block.
Get in the way. Shield them out the way. Run them out the way. Trip them out the way, and don't get caught. I don't care, bro. You don't got to dominate, right? Like, if you're Darnell Washington is a dominator, but he also doesn't give you the same type of reps in the passing game.
But have you Zach Cutts?
Yeah, you
6 foot like seven, 255 pounds, ran the 4.56 at the combine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
out of Old Dominion. Yep.
Now Sean says you draft Darnell Washington. Holy shit, we are defense's nightmares for sure with a two tight end set.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now, Ev, you want to bring up the mock draft?
First of all, I can't on this computer. Second of all, PFF don't allow it for free no more beyond two rounds.
Oh, I got it.
You think I'd be paying for that shit? I'm Frugal Gang for life, bro. Come on.
Gary, you just gotta make me the. You gotta allow me.
You could share your screen, can you?
Give me a second. Yeah. I got you.
Make sure you close out them Pornhub tabs.
I wonder what would happen if you take most of our phone and push P in the search engine. I'm just saying.
Pushing P? What?
Just push the letter P.
Phone and push P. Yeah.
Well, if you want to push P, you'd probably be pushing P for Philly sports trips. If you're looking to book a trip, check out Philly Sports Trips. At Sports Trips PHL for more information. They got a lot of trips. They have the draft trip coming up.
Whoa.
Can I? I mean, I'm just trying to.
No, go ahead. Coming up Thursday.
Finally did it.
Tailgate's coming up Thursday.
I was trying to get there. I was just trying to get there. But to the guys that are going to that tailgate, why don't you all speak on?
Yeah, I'm Vince reached out the other night asking to join him at the tailgate, the home opener. I will be there. I got permission at work to go ahead and slip out for a couple hours, go show some love to the Philly Sports Trip. So I'm gonna go do that. Catch up with them. Hopefully these guys will get their first win tonight. But if they save it for the home opener, I'm all with that because goddamn, they are struggling so bad.
Philly fans are freaking out already, dude.
Yeah, they are freaking out.
We have currently 2-0. It's only the third inning.
It's only the third inning, man. It's way too early.
But we haven't been
up. Also way too early in the year to be panicking.
Yeah, way too early. It's 162 fucking games.
That's the thing. It's so many games.
I was saying that I will be at the tailgate as well. That's why I was bringing it up. And I will be at the draft, sucker.
Which one of you rich bastards is paying for this?
Say what?
Say which one of you rich bastards is paying for PFF?
It's $80 for the year. Stop it.
Hey, we're all about the numbers.
It's worth it.
I only use it for 1 month out of the year. It's $80 for 1 month.
For those who are listening, we're about to do mock draft live. We're going to try and make this as quick as possible. For those real ones staying around, we appreciate your time. Do you want to set up the theme, or are we going to just go off the rip? We're going to feel like trading down. Going with trade down.
Let the board speak to us.
Oh yeah, go with the flow.
All right, let's go with just go with the flow.
Oh, I gotta get my tacos.
I do.
All right. So as usual, just to review, Bryce Young went number one to Carolina. C.J. Stroud two to Texans. Tyree third to the Cardinals. Will Levis will not be going fourth to the Indianapolis Colts, but he did here. Fifth was Will Anderson Jr. to Seattle. Interesting. Jalen Carter, six to the Lions. That would be amazing. Anthony Richardson, seven to the Raiders. Skoronski going eight to Atlanta. Good for them. I'm happy for him. And then number nine is Paris Johnson Jr., tackle from Ohio State, going to Chicago. So right now we have Devon Witherspoon from Illinois, Quentin Johnson, TCU, Gonzo still here. It's a lot of people, man, JSN. I can't really see what the chat is saying. Can't see. Brian Branch. Yep.
This feels like trade back territory for me. There's a lot of talent.
Okay. Right, yes, yeah, a lot of talent right there. All right.
Where did Carter go again?
Six.
Carter went six.
Two. Said, Detroit.
So, yeah, six to Detroit. Yep. So it's the Green Bay Packers at 15. Washington 45. At 16. Give it to me.
We said we were going to let this shit ride out. Why are y'all?
What are you talking about, bro? We said we're going to go with the flow.
You're going to try to get 15?
15 yeah, and 45.
So we could go for 15.
So 15 and 45?
All right. Put some more on that.
Nah, it's 51%, bro. We ain't going
to get you can get one more. Yeah, there you go.
I'm telling you. I got to get accepted, though.
Yeah, I'm going to accept it, bro. I'm getting greedy. It's good. We'll trade back. We'll white song.
It's not enough.
It's enough. Yeah. So 15 to 45. We moved back five spots and got a damn second.
So we moved back. We did a trade with Green Bay Packers. We moved back five spots. Got the 45th pick as well.
Yep.
We got 15 to 45.
I hear some Bijan chants.
Nolan Smith would also be a great spot right here.
And they all went. Christian Gonzalez goes 10. Spoon goes 11. Porter goes 12. JSN goes 13. That's such a Patriots pick, bro.
Oh, 100%.
I would not be surprised if he ended up there. That's the ultimate Patriots pick. Okay, so sitting at 15, we have Quentin Johnson, Elijah Cansey, Brian Branch, Dalton Kincaid, Nolan Smith. Bijan's still on the table here.
Damn.
Hey, we got some choices, man.
This is Nolan for me.
Nolan over Bijan. You know.
I love Bijan.
Wow, like, certified Bijan stand.
Listen, he know the
passing at
Bijan. He know the
vibe. I love Bijan, bro. But like Nolan Smith, I think he's gonna be he's gonna be a future fucking beast.
Oh yeah, you add a third.
If the Eagles were at 15, and they took Nolan Smith or Bijan Robinson, I'm equally as happy either way, honestly.
All right,
here
we go.
Anthony's saying Bijan.
We got Bijan.
Bijan.
Seeing Bijan. What y'all saying? Nolan, Bijan, what we doing?
Flip the coin.
No matter what happens, I'm going to be happy. I got a coin. I can flip it.
Flip it.
Is that how we're doing this? This is how we doing that?
Flip the coin.
This is Bijan.
Go Smith, bro.
This is fucking.
I'm saying Smith, but I'm fine with flipping the coin, too.
That's a Bijan in Philadelphia.
It's Bijan?
Yeah, nah, go Smith.
Go Smith. You can't pass no.
Bijan went right. He went next to Washington as well.
Damn it. Ooh. We got to play against him.
All right. So we're sitting here at 30. We have Anton Harrison, tackle from Oklahoma. Will McDonald, who we have less of a need for. Josh Downs, wide receiver from North Carolina. DeJuan Jones, tackle from Ohio State. You know, Tanner McKee, I need PFF to, like, paid them for this because this is, I need to know how much he paid for this placement. We got Tank's boy, Emmanuel Forbes, Cam Smith, cornerback from South Carolina.
I said, where does PFF have Julius Brents ranked at? Out of curiosity. Will we be able to get him with 45 potentially?
Probably. Probably get him with 80.
Yeah, Warren. I don't think he's very. Oh, he's 62, so 45 might be close.
Or 62.
Well, yeah, 30.
I don't know. I don't think that he'll be there at 62 because the computer tends to take him early. So, what do y'all think of here? We can also trade back again.
Yeah, it's also
get
an
more
option.
Picks. So we have the Pittsburgh Steelers here at 32. Houston at 33, Carolina 39.
I'd trade down a couple spots.
You want to go like got the Carolina Panthers at 39, Saints at 40, or Texans at 33?
You could go with the Steelers at 32.
39. Steelers at 32?
Yeah.
You ain't going to get much for that, bro.
No.
We ain't moving nowhere.
All right. I mean, what you said?
They ain't giving out. They ain't giving out. Nah, 10. Now, let's see what they're talking about at 39, bro. Let's see what they're talking about at 39. Look, boom, look. Now we robbing them for draft picks. See?
Yeah. Mm.
Now we sticking them for picks. All right, I like this. So we will get 39, 93, 114 for pick 30.
Let's do it. Yeah.
What y'all thinking?
So this is obviously – this is
yeah,
team –
yeah, pull the trigger. I can hear fucking Prime's stomach rumbling.
This draft is team trade back.
Yeah. I know, because Prime is over.
Yeah,
I know,
this bottle is going to see one of y'all. I'll tell y'all right now.
All right, so we traded pick 30 and pick 248 for pick 39.
Prime, we got rid of one of our seventh round picks for you, dog.
There you Thank go. You.
That's one less pick.
Thank you.
It's all for Primo. All right, so picking at slot number 39, we still have Emmanuel Forbes here.
I go with Forbes there.
Dion Henley is a fan favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, we got Jahmyr Gibbs here still. Matt Bergeron here still.
But don't we got pick number 45 as well?
We do. I would say go Jahmyr Gibbs right here. That I feel like
that's you don't think
Jahmyr Gibbs will be at 45?
I do not think Jahmyr Gibbs makes it to 45. Right.
That's where we're taking Brents, bro.
I think we get Gibbs right here and then go Forbes. And I think Forbes will be there.
I'm on the Gibbs train here.
How about Forbes?
What's the chat saying?
That's what I was saying.
I can't see Antonio Johnson, Matt Dye, or Jay Gibbs.
Unless you want to go, if you want to wait later for the wine guy, Charbonnet.
Yeah, there's some options. We got some options.
So
Mal, I've been thinking as well. I know you're big on Mo. Do you think there's any possibility? Like, I feel like the mock draft's taking him way, way too low. You think he's realistically
think
he like fourth round?
Probably somewhere in there.
Yeah. DeJuan Jones.
You want to go Emmanuel Forbes? Yeah, I like DeJuan Jones too. We got Forbes or Jones here.
Forbes.
Let's go. Let's see if Jahmyr falls. I think my computer froze.
God damn it.
No, there we go. Yo, Primes, you gotta chill. It's too much going on my computer right now.
I know, it's a lot going on.
It's overloaded. All right, we got pick 45.
Oh, you took Tanner McKee?
No,
I didn't take anybody.
I told you.
Hyatt and Jahmyr Gibbs both went.
No, he did with the Jets. Shit.
Because the Jets would have taken
Forbes. Interesting one right there. I would be Charbonnet still there? Bergeron, Drew Sanders is here. Charbonnet will be here still.
Sydney Brown?
Yeah, Charbonnet is here. Julius Brents is here if we wanted to take him still. Julius Brents will not make it to 62.
I was going to say, what's your thoughts on, what's it called? Trying to take Charbonnet at 62.
I think he'll fall to 62. I'll pick Matt Bergeron.
Now we got a corner and we have a edge.
You have a corner and edge. Take Bergeron.
I think that's a great value pick there too. Drew Sanders would be interesting as like that situational pass rusher, C-ball, get ball.
Yeah, C-ball, get ball, and a Joker.
When's the last time a linebacker went second? What was that? That San Diego State Matt. What's his name?
Matt McCoy.
Matt McCoy. Remember that dude? Holy.
Yeah, I call him Mutt. He was with me in New Orleans. Yeah, one green eye, one brown eye.
All right, so what y'all want to do? Charbonnet? I see people saying Charbonnet.
I say we hold out for 62 for Charbonnet.
All right, so this thing comes down to Julius Brents, Drew Sanders, Matt Bergeron.
I say Bergeron since we just took Emmanuel Forbes.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be cool with Bergeron.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. Prime, you're so excited over there, Prime.
What's happening for you, brother?
Just moving.
I know.
It's moving, brother. It's moving. There goes Brent. Oh, Brent's went 61, son.
Wow.
Damn.
That killed
Evan. Charbonnet.
Get
Charbonnet.
Get him.
That's it.
Here we go. See, now we're cooking with gas now. We got our power back.
Now Gail happy.
Now Gail happy. Right after that?
The green destiny. So, yeah. The green.
Oh, we got back-to-back picks,
back.
Too?
Back-to-back picks.
Oh, cool.
Love that. Carl Brooks, TVT.
Carl Brooks is an interesting one. TVT is an interesting one. KJ Henry, I like as another pass rusher.
That's two picks out the way.
Tajay Spears.
And we have no seventh round, so you're good. We got Jaden Reed here.
Jaden Reed.
Whoa,
Ivan Page.
Jaden Reed.
You got to get Bateman.
Hey, Jaden Reed would be nice.
You never seen replacements, bro?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Jaden Reed. All right.
Go get Jaden Reed.
And then go get your boy Pace after.
Yeah, get Pace right after.
Yo, honestly, I take JL Skinner over Pace right here. Just because the need for safety is so much higher.
Mark, I think he's actually a better player.
I love Skinner right here. But Skinner? Let's go Pace.
I mean, we just been hyping Pace up.
Yeah, see ball, get ball. Yeah,
get the ball. Give me the ball.
Look, we have two more picks left. And it's taco party, bro.
That's taco party.
How many more picks we got? Three?
We got two more, man.
Two more.
We almost
two
there, son.
There goes the apologies, there. Prime. I'm waiting on my groceries to be delivered. Don't worry about it.
fuck.
I already went to the store.
Roshan.
They wanted me to bag my own groceries. They don't pay me for that shit.
Right, Gerard Clark.
It's a Gerard Clark. I like Chandler Zavala too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, how many line we got? One more lineman to develop.
So we need 80 of them. I love KJ Henry. Yo. I don't know who said that in Pete. Yeah, KJ Henry's my guy.
Yasir Abdullah.
Ronnie Hickman is an interesting safety prospect too.
Where did Jordan Battle end up going? Probably.
Oh baby, in the third round, more than likely.
Why? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yo, probably. Worry about yourself. Worry about yourself, Mayu. Worry about yourself, Mayu. I'm saying probably KJ Henry. You're probably the best value on here on the board too.
Just go.
Go KJ Henry then.
Somebody that little man. Is that little man?
Yeah, I know.
See, he feels my pain. Hurry up.
He just want to beat me up, man. I'm not running off to go get beat up, bro.
I got my son waiting for beat me up. He's
like, where's dad?
Is MJ looking at Prime right now? Or I'm sorry, MJ looking at fucking
me. He can't wait.
Tim's asking for DTR.
DTR went already.
Yeah.
I love DTR, man. It's one of my favorite dogs. You got Stetson. I'll be cool with Stetson and Malik Cunningham.
That'd be cool.
Better athletic profile. Puka.
Stephen Puka.
I say
we don't gotta overthink this one. Stets.
Stetson Bennett, another Georgia Bulldog.
Yeah.
Prime, we did it, Prime. Congratulations, my boy.
Bulldog.
Yeah, I like it, man. Listen, you could do worse than bringing in a bunch of national champions. Yeah, come on, let's run another one. Real quick.
Shout out to those who stayed for the mock draft. You know, sometimes you have to mock when it's draft season. Mm-hmm. So we went with Edge, Nolan Smith. We moved back and got Nolan Smith. We drew in the second round, pick 39. We moved back again off 30 with the Steelers. We got Emmanuel Forbes out of Mississippi State. Let's see. Then we round two, pick 45, Matt Bergeron out of Syracuse. Tackle, could probably play guard. Then we drafted Zach Charbonnet. They have the wrong picture at PFF. But it's not Zach Charbonnet.
It definitely isn't.
We got your power back with some wiggle. And we got in round three, pick 93. We got Jaden Reed out of Michigan State. Could be your wide receiver three, punt returner. Got some special teams ability. We went with the linebacker that we've been hyping up on today's show.
Yes, sir.
Round three, pick 94, Ivan Page Jr. PFF gave it a D+.
They hated it.
Round four, pick 132. We went with KJ Henry, Edge out of Clemson. They gave an A, and then we closed out the draft round seven with Stetson Bennett, the Cologne from Georgia.
It's a lot of dogs here, though, right? They're like, it's a lot of aggressive football players in this group. So I'm not mad at it, bro. I'm not mad at it.
Feast with Pete chimes in, says, pretty good draft. I think most of us will be happy with this draft. Again, I agree. Got some Georgia Bulldogs. Keep it in the SEC.
It can't go wrong.
But before we get out of here, last word. We'll start with Prime since he's ready to roll.
Yeah, so I'm ready to go and finish Taco Tuesday, my dinner. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Again, like I mentioned earlier, 23 days away from the draft, so definitely excited to get to that point. You know, try to stay safe out there. Check on your peeps, and as always, go Birds.
Big Tank.
Hi, what's up? Just chilling and stuff and handling my business, interrupted Prime and Gil whenever I feel the need to.
That's why we hired you.
So just meet us out. Meet me out at the tailgate. Prime going to be there. I'm going to be there. Just go try to pop up one of our other Philly teams because they're sticking up to join as we currently speak. But take care of each other, like Prime said, and check on one another. And go Birds.
Big Mal.
Man, just mind your mentals, right? Like, mental health is wealth, man. So stay on top of that stuff. You know, it's getting nice outside. We outside again. Protect yourself. Be smart, right? You know, it's that season where we get a chance to really just celebrate the Birds in the off season, right? The draft is here, man. We've been preparing for this joint. As always, excited to just be here with you fellas and just talk with the folks in the chat too. Y'all can hear little homie. He ready for me to wrap it up. So I'm good. I'm done.
Yeah, for me, it's somewhat. I mean, we've talked an hour and 23 minutes now about football. My last word is kind of the opposite of Mal's, to be honest with you. It's an open invitation to these ants. I'm not above committing war crimes. You motherfuckers are going down. I will burn this property down before you guys win. So you get ready to meet your maker.
Shout out to you guys that are sticking with us during this draft season. Not everyone's a draft hoarder, nerd, whatever you want to, you know, draft geek, whatever. Like, draft season is all about get your mind right for the draft. So it's exciting. It's like playing bingo. They call your number on bingo night. It's exciting. So we're trying to get your numbers called. I'm excited for these picks. We'll probably follow up with our picks in the second round, our day three selections. So get ready for that. We will see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly. Go get your tacos.
Be safe, Pete.